website by probably Tuesday, since it's a long weekend, maybe a little sooner. Great. So welcome, everyone. Thank you for writing your name and organization in the chat. That's very helpful. I think the three of us from the city will introduce ourselves, and then I'll get started. I'm Lynn Sturbins, and I'm the grants coordinator for the City of St. Paul. Jody, you want to go next?
I'm Jody Plant. I work under a contract. I work for Alaska Municipal League, but I solely work for St. Paul, helping Lynn with grant reporting, and I do project management.
And I'm Phil Zavadil. I'm the city manager. I live and work here on St. Paul Island.
Great. Thank you. I'm the one who wrote the grant application that was awarded. And then Jody wrote the RFP, for which you are here all today to ask questions about. But Phil, living and working on the island for decades now, and Jody and I don't, he knows more about the actual project and the location and all of those things. So that's why we're all three here. Okay, well, I'd like to start out by giving a little bit of background on the particular grant that we received for this project. So it's a National Fish and Wildlife Foundation grant. As one of the appendices, in addition to the RFP package, there was a bunch of appendices, and in there is the grant application that we wrote. So I really encourage everyone to go back through there and read it. It's very specific, and you'll hear about it here in just a minute. So National Fish and Wildlife Foundation published a National Coastal Resilience Fund opportunity in 2025. And the primary goal of this was to make investments in planning and design and implementation of nature-based solutions to enhance protection for coastal communities from the impacts of storms, floods, and other natural disasters and hazards, while also improving habitat for fish and wildlife. So the project had to be located in a coastal state or area, and had to have habitats such as coastal marshes, floodplains, things like that, dunes and beach systems. So that's why we fit into that so well. And also the community had to be experiencing growing impacts such as rising sea level, changing sea temperatures, increased frequencies and intensities of storms, all of which also the island of St. Paul is experiencing. So we were awarded this grant award, and there are some specific program components that I want to make sure you're all aware of. So all projects had to demonstrate a benefit, like I said, to the coastal community and the habitat. So the project must focus on identifying and implementing nature-based solutions, such as restoring coastal marshes, rebuilding dunes, natural buffers. Projects must show clear benefits in terms of reducing current and projected threats to communities from natural hazards. And they must help to improve habitat for fish and wildlife. And then some of the things, those are the musts, and some of the things that are highly, highly encouraged, which we did write in our application and say that we would do, was to have the project informed by local knowledge and promote a co-stewardship between partners, stakeholders, community members, especially for protection and enhancement of habitats for subsistence species, which we have, and that contribute to food security. So this project will involve a lot of community-led outreach and involvement. And then finally, they really highly encouraged us to have create a project that could really reshape thinking of what what might constitute a coastal community risk reduction. And in Alaska, this is a hot topic after the last few major disasters. And so they want to see that something that maybe we develop is scalable and transferable to other communities, rural, remote, and at-risk communities. So that's a little bit about the project, the grant. But I highly encourage you to read through, because while we committed to doing a lot of things in the application, there's also a lot of things in the application that we say, well, that's what the final design will determine. That's what we want the final designer to identify. And so I just say it again, please read through that. That's very helpful to really understand the scope of work. So, Phil, do you want to, I'll turn it over to you to give a little bit more specifics or to add on whatever I missed. And you're muted, by the way.
So I think, really we want to focus on solutions that mitigate potential impacts to critical infrastructure, whether it be roads or utilities, from flooding. In this case, it's flooding caused by storm surge, not rain or that type of stuff. And looking at taking a look at those systems and then how we could work with those systems, kind of nature-based solutions to mitigate any impacts. So for example, the community pond, you have road, you have utilities near there, flooded, I think last year, flooded in 2015. And then a few times prior to that, 64, it wasn't because of the earthquake, it was something else going on in 64. And there's some documentation of that. It's a natural flood area. There's some documentation in the government documents that every so often they would go and kind of doze that out to make space for, before you had all the environmental rules and all that type of stuff, to make space for water coming in. So kind of the thought is, let it come in, but let's get it the water out of there, but also protect the infrastructure in the area. For the Salt Lagoon, Typhoon Merbok, we really saw the potential for impact upon the main road going out of town to access to the airport. My thought is, if that eye of the storm was a little bit more south than it was, we probably could have seen some more damage from storm surge and flooding because of that. With Haylong, it whipped through here so fast and switched directions, there wasn't too much of a impact from that. I think when it got up to the mainland, it definitely slowed down quite a bit. So if you look at our community map, there is only one main road going access out to the airport. There's another road that you can take, but if flooding occurred in that low-lying area, both those access to both those roads would be impacted. So really looking at how do we protect the infrastructure, but take into account nature-based solutions. Because my thought is you build things bigger and better, and then you have the biggest, baddest storm comes through in the next 100 years and wipes that all out. So how do we take advantage of what Mother Nature provides and the solution she provides to be able to protect what's important to us on the infrastructure side of things? Those of you that might be familiar with St. Paul, the Pribilofs, lots of endangered species, lots of wildlife around. So all that needs to be taken into account. I think this is a really cool, interesting project to work on just because of all the dynamics at play here. And then we really want to bring in at an equal level local traditional knowledge based on what people have seen for living here hundreds of years. We're not, the folks here haven't lived. Lived on the islands here as long as they have on the Aleutian Islands, but I think some of the traditional knowledge carries over from communities on the Aleutian. So feel free to ask any questions that you might have.
Really quickly before we open it up for questions, I will say that also in the appendices, you'll see of the RFP, you'll see a 2022 drainage study and a project location map and some flooding photographs from, I think, even further back from like 2015. So there is a lot of really good information there. Two of the things that we did not attach because they're so large, you can find on our website, and I'll put those in the chat here in just a minute. But we were required for part of this grant to identify which hazards in our hazard mitigation plan this addresses, and which projects, high priority projects in our transportation safety action plan this project addresses. And so I'll put those in the chat here in just a minute and show you where to find those. But like Phil said, it does affect a transportation, important transportation route as well. Okay, Jody, do you have anything before we turn it over for questions?
Okay. Nope.
All right, let's open it up for questions.
Yeah, this is Garrett with Michael Baker. Do you guys have access, or will there be access to modeling that may have been completed for all the various harbor expansions and harbor constructions in the past?
That would be available through the Army Corps.
Okay.
And we could probably... I could post some contact. We can post some contacts on the webpage of who to reach out to. It just depends on if it's like a new project or a maintenance project. The Corps has different contacts, and those have changed since then. So getting access to some of that, hopefully they still have that. But Corps has actually lots of information.
Thanks.
Lynn, you're muted, just so you know.
I was mumbling to myself where to find some, how to, never mind, it's fine. But thank you. Usually it's the other, I'm just forget that I'm muted.
There was, I think I have a paper copy, I don't have an electronic copy. So the LU Community of St. Paul, I think, was partnered with a grad student with UAF that did some flooding erosion type of studies. There's some information there. From my perspective, it was fairly crude, and then only took into account kind of one perspective at one point in time. That's where that historical knowledge really comes into play, to see how there's patterns, I guess, to, from what I've seen, I've been here since 98, patterns to how storm surge happens. For me, it'd be interesting to see some like modeling of weather patterns and conditions that might lead to the storm surge and flooding in those particular areas, along with geography, looking at, you know, the landscape and contours and maps and things like that. because it doesn't happen all the time. There's certain conditions that lead up to that. But I think we would have, the LU community does have somebody that, yeah, I think is working on their master's or PhD on some erosion, and they want to be part of the planning team that would be formed with other community representatives as part of this project. So they might have some additional information to bring to the table that might be valuable.
I had a couple questions on the RFP. See, there's reference of including the proposal packet in our response. What do you define the proposal packet as being?
Jody, do you want to take that one?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Jacqueline. Can you repeat that, please?
Yeah, so in the RFP, there's, let me see if I can find where exactly it's at. There's reference of including the proposal packet in our response. So I was just wondering what you define the proposal packet as being.
Really just your proposal of what your plan would be to mitigate the flooding. Yep.
Okay. I was like thinking it might be like include the RFP, but that makes sense.
Any design or just anything that needs to be in there.
Gotcha.
And check the content requirements list. I think there's a whole section that has the content requirements.
Yeah, it looks like that was in the content requirements. Let's see, it's on page 11 in under Q5.
Okay, maybe we just need to... Okay, yeah, that's a little vague. We'll fix that in the future. Thank you.
Yeah. And then the other question was, in terms of the contract, were you anticipating signing the consultant's contract, or do you have a contract that the consultant would sign?
Phil, you're muted.
We would be developing the contract that the selected firm would need to review and sign.
Okay. Do you happen to have a sample, or would that be during negotiation stage?
Negotiation stage.
Ewan, did you have a question?
Yes, thank you. This question's for Philip. What equipment do you have out there on the island for maintenance of your infrastructure?
That's a good question. On our website, we have a master rate schedule that includes much of the equipment, but we have graders, loaders, dozers, excavators. We're between the city and the other entities on island, there's no lack of equipment. Dump trucks, we're pretty flush with the number of different pieces of equipment.
That's good.
So I'll put the link to that one in there as well, although I will say we are in the process of updating this. Check. There we go. This was last updated in April, but there's a new one about to come out. So it is, I'll just tell you on the city website, it's under the how do I and how do I view. So how do I then view, and it'll have that document. So I put all of those three things so far in the chat that I said I would provide. This is the links to those things.
This is Ed Zapel from NHC. I didn't see in the documentation if there's an available quarry, aggregate source, anything like that available on St. Paul near the project.
Yeah, there's a number of different quarries on the island with different types of material, all owned by the Village Corporation, TDX, and then depending on which quarry you go into, subsurface rights through the regional corporation, LU Corp. We have for road surfaces mainly, we use scoria material. It's like this pumice rock, and you can go in and just scoop it up with a loader and then sift it and then put that on the roads. Red and black, and then in one of the quarries there's some gray rock. It still is volcanics. It's a little bit heavier. That over the years there has been people that have had equipment in the quarry crushing that and producing D1 type of material, and then some of that rock can be used, although fairly light, for armor type of rock. Usually we're using that for like 6-inch minus and then D1. For like Army Corps in our harbor and breakwater, all the rock usually comes from off island, because our rock isn't dense enough or heavy enough to be able to use in that type of way. For example, when they put the first breakwater together in the mid 80s, they used rock from here. Big fall storm came and basically washed it out, so they had to redesign it. And then I think some rock came from Nome. The current rock that's happening right now with the maintenance project is from Sandpoint. We've got it from Kodiak, Oregon, different places over the years for that bigger armor rock. But as far as local source for roads and road bases, or bedding material for utilities or that type of thing, we can source that locally.
Garrett, did you have a question?
Yeah, is the project budget, you guys have a couple of numbers there. I see 500,000 and then I see the 596. Is, I guess I'm seeing a couple different numbers on that end.
Sure. So I think in the RFP, we said the not to exceed fixed price for the design is 500,000. And that is because, I mean, we did get, the grant is for 596,000, but that we need to be able to pay project manager and some administrative staff. So that is why the whole grant isn't up for the design RFP.
Okay, so the 500,000 is the not to exceed for the consultant.
Correct.
Okay.
Did anybody else have any questions? Looks okay. Like maybe not.
I think all of you, I took a quick glance and I'm pretty sure you're all registered on our city website for the RFP, which is great. If for some reason you're not, I'm pretty sure you are, but if you're not, that is a requirement for us to receive your proposal. And that's where you do receive updates. And please watch by Tuesday, these questions and answers will be posted. I think, what is our Oh, yeah. So vendor questions, the deadline for questions from all of you to the city is June 5th. And then we have until June 19th to provide answers. And then question and answer period is over.
Yeah. So if you have any other questions, please feel free to email us. Well, thank you, everybody, for attending. We're so excited that so many firms are interested.
Will this be recording, or will this recording be available?
This has been recording. I'm sorry, Ed, you probably might have missed the very beginning.
Yeah, I understand it's being recorded, but is the recording going to be available?
Oh, yes.
We can do that. Yeah.
Yeah, we will post that also on the RFP page, so you can also listen to it. That will be available.
Right. Thank you.
Well, thank you all for joining us today. Have a great weekend, and I look forward to reading your proposals.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody. Thank you.